Amen. Ed, can you please open us in prayer, please?
Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just lift up Ray here to you, Lord God, and we just ask that you move through him, Lord, that we hear your words. And, Lord, we just ask that you would be here today, that your spirit would dwell amongst us, and that you would bless this time. And we thank you that we can gather here in your name. We thank you. Amen.
Amen. This morning we are going to be talking on Romans chapter 12, verse 10. For those who have your cell phones, tablets, Bibles, Romans chapter 12, verse 10. When I was reading this, I thought of a lot of times with on the Thursday afternoon classes. But anyways, when I was looking at this scripture, it came to mind when Pastor Don and Bob went to doing the Thursday classes. They always talk about when a lot of times we'll go ahead and read a scripture, read a verse, and a lot of times we'll just read right through it. And then we'll go to the next verse and the next verse, and we'll just read right through it. Instead, we always need to try and take time to try to understand what that verse is telling us. So the verse that I have this morning, again, Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says this: be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Now, I say, well, you know, I need to understand there's three key words in the verse that kind of draw my attention. And I want to go ahead and try and break that down a little bit so we can understand a little bit what that verse is trying to tell us. Or those key words in there tell us something. So the first word is be devoted to one another. The word devoted. I looked it up in the Webster's Dictionary, a dictionary on my phone, and it says this. It says devoted, very loving or loyal, synonymous with faithful, true, constant, committed, dedicated. I wrote a note here to myself, and it says this: it's not what you feel, but more what you do. Being devoted to one another in love means that we honor others above ourselves, as it puts others first and ourselves last. Again, it says, you know, be devoted to one another. I mean, as Christians, you know, what does that tell us? What does that mean to be devoted to one another? Well, if we read, again, some of the characteristics, it says faithful, true, constant, committed, and dedicated. Dedicated to one another. True to one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this: therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you're doing. So, I mean, if we're going to go ahead and be dedicated to ourselves, I mean, it's not a, as Christians, it's not a part-time thing. It should be an everyday thing. Okay? We just don't be dedicated to ourselves and be devoted to one another only as a part-time job. We're Christians every single day. Okay? So, if we want to go ahead and say we want to be devoted to one another, it's every day. Okay? Because a lot of times, people kind of turn that down a little bit when there's an event going on or something like that. And I think I brought that up before. You know, that's when you get that phone call, okay, to test, so to speak, whether or not you are devoted or dedicated to your brother and sister. You know, when you're watching, you know, a game, or you're involved in some sport or something like that, or you're doing something, or just kick back sitting on the chaise lounge chair, like I do, all right? And you get that phone call from a brother, sister, say, you know what, I'm down the road, I just got a flat tire, I can't get a hold of anybody else, can you come by? You know, how devoted are you to your brother and sister? Like, well, did you try real hard to get a hold of anybody? You know, I think so-and-so is at home. He might be home right now. Try call him. I mean, I would do it. I would love to do it. But I think he might be closer to you. Are you really devoted or dedicated to your brother and sister? Pastor Don? Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says this. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Let us consider how to stir up one another. You know, as we want to be devoted to one another in Christ. You know, if we see a brother or sister, or we know of a brother or sister that might be either in need or maybe going through something, okay, we shouldn't have to wait, okay, for 15 people to tell you that John over here or Bob over here or, you know, whatever, whoever it is going through something. You know, we shouldn't have to wait for somebody to call us to tell us that. If we know about it, okay, that's when you go out and reach out to your brother or your sister, just, you know, to rise them up. You know, hey, what's going on, bro? You know, you might not have to necessarily talk about the problem that's going on. Maybe they don't want to talk about it at that time. But maybe you can just go out and reach out to that brother and sister and say, hey, you know what? I feel like having a coffee today, you know, or whatever. Hey, you want to come with me? Let's go have a coffee. Or a donut, or whatever it is, an ice cream, especially if it's nice outside. You'd be surprised a lot of times when you start it up like that, you know, people might kind of feel a little bit more comfortable and maybe break down and start telling you what's going on in their life. Okay? Well, then you have something to pray for. Okay? And then that brother, that sister can turn around and one day testify as to when one day they were going through something in their life and Brother Smith reached out to him and called him out of nowhere and said, hey, brother, you know what? I want to know if, you know, if you want to have some coffee or whatever it is. And we had a nice conversation. And he gave me some advice, or she gave me some advice. And it changed my life completely. I mean, what a testimony that somebody can give. And that can encourage somebody else within the body to say, you know what, I'm afraid of doing that sometimes, but you know what, that encouraged me now to go out there. And when I hear that somebody is in need of something, and I'm not talking about financially, whatever it is, I'm talking about spiritually in need, to go out there and reach out to that person, that brother, that sister. That can encourage me. You had a question? Hold on a second.
I got a question here. I'm going to throw a monkey wrench into your teaching. Does it? I know. I'm not talking about David, brother. Does it always have to be a brother or sister?
No. No. It doesn't always have to be a brother or sister.
You know, I know God says to use wisdom. I mean, if I seen a junkie sitting on the corner shooting up heroin and he's asking me for money, I'm not going to give him the money.
No.
But I'm just thinking like Pastor Don, how he has the Bible release. You know, they're not like members of the church, but he pours out to them. Yeah, he pours out to them. That
you did him a favor if you don't give him any money when you know it's going to go and screw it up with it.
Right. But, you know, you always hear the stories about, I know in Pastor Don and Pastor John's case where someone asked him for money and he said, no, but I'll take you and get you a sandwich. You know, and there's the opportunity to minister to that person instead of just giving them money because you don't know what they're going to do with the money.
True.
So, true. I mean, yeah, I just want to throw that out there. You know, we can reach out to all people, but we got to use godly wisdom.
Amen. Amen.
Because, like, when we meet God, we can put a good word and say, this other guy really helped me out a lot of times. You know, he helped me out with money. He helped me out a lot of times. Let him in, you know?
Yeah, true. You know? I mean, that's a testimony. You know, we just never know when we go out and reach out to somebody that's in need. And again, and I'm not talking about just financially. I'm talking about spiritually. Somebody that's really broken down. You know, they might not have nobody to talk to, and you reach out and talk to this person. And first of all, you share the good news. Okay? First thing you're doing is you're showing your dedication, your devotion to God. That's what you're showing. When you reach out, you're actually showing your devotion and your dedication to Christ, to His love. Romans chapter 15, verse 7 says this, "Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God." You know? I taught the class upstairs for the junior youth, and one of the classes was about people that are different. You know, somebody might be a little bit different than we are. They might not dress the same way we do, whatever, okay? And we have to accept that, and that's okay, all right? We need to go out there and, again, show our devotion, our dedication to Christ and His love, and reach out to somebody, okay? Let them know that what you have, they can have. We have Christ in our life. We have God in our hearts, okay? We reach out and let them know that this is what we have, and they can have the same thing, okay? That's what we're taught to do. That's what we're told to do, is go out and share the good news. And share what God is doing in your life. Okay? And true devotion, true dedication, again, is not a part-time thing. It's an everyday event. Okay? Every day, God can use every single person in here for His glory. It's not just Monday through Friday and Saturday and Sunday, or Saturday He takes the day off. We do. A lot of times we want to take that little time off. Well, you know, Monday, I testified on Monday. I witnessed on Tuesday. I went to prayer on Wednesday. I did something on Friday, Thursday and Friday. I'm good. I'll see you Sunday. It doesn't work that way. Every single day. Because you know why? Because what He did, He didn't do it just for one day. He did it for every single day. He loves us every single day. He's there for us every single day. 7 days a week. He's not a part-time God. He's an everyday. He's full-time. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. "But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Again, we're talking about being devoted. This is about encourage one another day after day, you see. It's in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Every single day, as long as today is called today, every single day, we need to be devoted. We need to be encourage our brothers and sisters. Even when it's good times. Even when it's a good time. Call them up. "Hey, I'm having a barbecue. Come on over." Okay? Eddie, anytime. All right, having a barbecue, come on over. All right, when we had the, at Pastor Don's, we had that men's meeting. I mean, that was awesome. I don't know, they had maybe about 40 men or something like that over there. That was awesome. I had a bunch of guys out there in his backyard, side yard, backyard, in the house, in front of the house. We were all over the house. Okay, that was a great time. Okay. And a lot of things were shared that day. Okay? That probably otherwise probably wouldn't have happened. But a lot of men were there, saw the dedication and devotion that men have to get together as one in Christ to encourage one another. And we did that. When we have our men's meeting, we do that. We make sure that we encourage one another. We show our devotion, our dedication to our brothers and sisters. And like Eddie said, and to other people out there. Because the most important part is that they see our dedication, our devotion to Christ. That's the most important part, that they see that. Because I tell you what, if you don't have that dedication and devotion to God, and you go out there and try to minister somebody, it might not work the same way. Unless God's the one that goes in and intervenes, it might not work that way. Because we're trying to do it on your own. Amen. The second one. First part is be devoted to one another, and then in love. Dictionary says this. well, one of the dictionaries, there's so many out there nowadays, an intense feeling of deep affection. That's how short it is. It's synonymous with deep affection, fondness, tenderness, warmth, intimacy, devotion, caring, and kindness. That's what they call love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 7 says this is love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. This is a good one. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Saw the small definition of love for the dictionary, and then what God says love is. And when I was reading that, what a coincidence. That on there, the word not dishonor others, and it is not self-seeking. The verse today says, honor one another above yourselves. It says, be devoted to one another in love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Okay, we're talking about our verse. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves in love. Now, in one of my teachings, I spoke how I thought I was in love when I thought I could ride a roller coaster. Right? That was my way of showing my love and my dedication and my devotion and how you can scream like a girl. I never knew I could do that, but I did. John 13, 34 through 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. It doesn't say like. It says love. Now, I read a minute ago what love is. What God describes what love is. And he gave us all the things that it is and what it's not. Okay? And it says to love one another. Again, it's not a part-time. It's not I love you today, hate you tomorrow. I love you today, I love you tomorrow, I love you the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Because you know why? Because God gave us that example. He'll never tell you, I don't love you today because of what you did or what you didn't do. He has mercy, grace on us, and he loves us. Unconditional love. Every single day. In our good times, in our bad times, when you think you're alone and you're not, when you're struggling with something, he knows, he's there. His dedication to us, he proved that. He showed how much he loved us.
I think you hit on the biggest difference between your Webster's Dictionary version of what the world thinks of love and Christian version. It's not an emotion. That's what Webster described it as, an affection, emotion. I love you. I ain't going to do nothing for you, but I love you. We're just the opposite. Every time that Jesus spoke of love, there's an action involved in it. He didn't just say it. He showed. He did something to prove his love. From going on the cross all the way down, he showed. It's an action, not a verb, not a feeling. Because feelings are not very trustworthy, are they? human emotions are not very trustworthy. They're up and down. It just depends. I might love you today, but I won't love you tomorrow, you know. Eddie has some steaks in his refrigerator. I love him. He doesn't have any steaks. I don't like him. You laugh. In the world, when I was doing drugs and booze, everybody loved me if I had some drugs and booze, and I loved them. But the minute I didn't have, my weed was gone, they were gone. Somebody else's house, right, Eddie?
Amen. And that's so true. I mean, I think a lot of us experienced that, you know, when we were in the world. You know, how many friends did you have when you had money? Lots of them. As soon as that money was gone, you turn around, you don't have that many friends no more. But the whole time, hey, I'm there for you. I love you, man. Especially when they're drunk. That's when they really, really love you a lot. Right? How many people have gone through that? You know, you're talking to somebody that they're really, really drunk, and for some reason, that's when they really, really love you?
Yeah.
Okay.
They forget all about you.
I mean, seriously, no matter who you are, what you are, they're drunk, they love you a lot. And you, I love you. Seriously, you're everything to them now. Got my notes here, wrote it, okay. Yes, please. Now that would be a miracle.
Yeah. We love you. We're going to wonder if that's a real mindset.
She made an excellent point, and Jesus used that as a description, just like Eddie said, wherever he went, that there has to be an action. Everybody, the most famous proverb is what? Not the prodigal son, but the good Samaritan. Who was that guy laying there? He didn't know. Here's a guy laying here. Is he saved? I don't know. Is he my brother? I can't even see his face. Did he go over and pray for him? Did you say, well, go over there and pray for him? Ask if he's all right and go on about your business, right? You okay? Let me pray for you. See you later. No. He helped him. And that opened up the door for something later down the line. And we have to remember that. Our ultimate goal is, of course, to get people saved, right? But you have to, like you were saying, there's a time that you have to feed them. You have to get to know them for people to trust you and stuff like that.
Amen. On that verse that I just read on John 13, 34 through 35, by this all people will know that you're my disciples. Can people tell that you are? You know, can they tell by your devotion, your dedication? Okay? You know, how dedicated you are to Christ. Okay? Or like Bob just said, you know, do we just go by and just say a quick prayer and get on our merry way? How dedicated are you to show God's love, to go the full length of the way to help this person? And again, you got to do it in wisdom. You got to seek God's wisdom. Just can go out there also and just, you know, you got to make sure you pray on it. I mean, if you can, you get the pastor's, the elder's advice. This is what God's putting on my heart. This is what I would like to do. Okay? Pray on it and seek godly counsel. Go to your pastors. Okay? Because I'm sure the pastors had, Bob has experience with people that did not do that. All right? And then now they're backpedaling. Okay? So anytime you're going to do something like that, seek God first. Go to your elders. Go to your pastors. This is what's in my heart. And they'll give you the direction to go with. Okay? But again, you got to make sure that this is, when you do this, is you're going to go all the way. It's not just a quick prayer and keep going. Oh, it'll take a week for you to go to this person's house every single day after work when you're tired, when you're still hungry. But this, you know, but maybe at 4 o'clock in the afternoon is the only time that this person has. Before he does anything else, this is the only time that he has or she has. Will you take that devotion? Will you take that dedication to go every single day and just talk to him? Read him his scripture. Maybe that's all he needs, or maybe that's all she needs. It could just be that you go over there and just read a scripture to this person, two or three verses, from 4 o'clock to 4:10. It could just be that. But that can change that person's life. That dedication that you took to go every single day, even though it was an inconvenience, but you were dedicated to make sure that this person hear God's word. That this person knows that there's somebody out there, God's out there that loves them, loves her. That will be there for them. Maybe that time is the only time that that person will have or has to hear those words. Are you dedicated? Are we devoted to make sure that we do that? Or we'll just go 2 days a week and say, here's a list of the scriptures that you should read and go about our business.
I'll only go there the day somebody else is there and then you'll see that
I'm there. I mean, I'm being honest here. A lot of times we do that because it's an inconvenience, because I'm tired. You know, I worked hard today. Praise God. You got a job.
Amen.
Really? You know, I'm hungry. Praise God. There's McDonald's down the street. There's Burger King's. There's all kinds of restaurants. On your way there, stop and grab something to eat. And you know what? Take them something. Be a double blessing. Feed them twice. God's word. A good hamburger with some large fries and a large Coke. And throw an apple pie in there if you can. But that can make a difference in that person's life. Sammy has one.
Funny story. A couple of weeks ago, me and Peyton, Candace was working on Friday, so I'm taking her grocery shopping. So I'm hitting up like three different stores, you know, trying to, you know, save an extra buck, you know, going to Block's Fruit Market, you know, Kroger stuff. So my last store, I'm at Aldi, and I'm going to put the cart away. And they have, like, that little quarter in there, you know, that way you put it back, you know, because everybody wants a quarter. So I'm going to put it back, and this guy walks up to me, and he's like, here, let me put that away for you. And I'm like, no, I got it. I could do it. And he's like, you know, I could just really use the quarter to buy some food. I'm like, a quarter? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, here, why don't I just take you in the store? I'll buy you some food. You can pick out whatever you want. And you can have some food. He's like, no, man, you don't got to do that. I just want the quarter. That's all I need. And I'm like, so I just felt the Holy Spirit just come upon me. And I'm like, why are you lying to me? And he's like, what? I'm not lying to you. I'm like, yes, you are. You're probably going to buy booze or something. He's like, you know, alcohol is worse than heroin. I just want another drink. I just want another drink. So in that moment, I started talking to him about God and how the only way he could break that it's through God. And I didn't get another opportunity because the manager came outside and, like, crossed her arms and looked at her. And he's like, okay, I'll go. But I'm like, come on, man. Like, it goes back to what Eddie was saying. You got to use wisdom, you know, and not be so naive to helping people in your mind thinking it's helping them. A lot of times it's actually it's hurting them.
Amen. The last one I got here is honor. It's in the verse. It says, high respect, high esteem, synonymous with distinction, recognition, kudos, prestige, pleasure. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2-3, and everybody knows this one. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Okay? We always are showing honor to a lot of people in one way or another. Some deserve it, some don't. Okay? Because I'll read on that as to why sometimes they don't deserve it. It says you honor your mother and your father. Okay? Proverbs 21:21. Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life. Righteousness and honor. For the men that serve our country in the military, how many have seen that movie with Jack Nicholson? You can't handle the truth. A few good men. Okay? On the last part of that movie, what meant more to that Marine? An honor. To go out with an honorable discharge instead of a dishonorable discharge. For the men and women that serve our country, that's an honor. They served our country. We should honor our men and women that serve our country. I know Hogan, when we were on our way to Mexico at the airport, we're trying to get from one side of the airport to the other, in the middle of Atlanta, Georgia, the biggest terminal out there. And on the way there, we're trying to hurry up and get there. And there's about, I don't know, a couple of thousand military men and women in there. Hogan, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hogan, we're trying to get to the other side. Okay? But I get it. I get it. I get it. We should do that. We should thank our men and women that serve our country. Hogan made sure he did that that day. He kept on doing it. You know, we are literally running because they told us our gate was on the opposite side of the airport. And that's what Hogan is doing. Shaking the hands of every man and woman that he saw in uniform. You know? I got a quote here. Those who give hoping to be rewarded with honor are not giving. They are bargaining. Men and women of this country, when they served because they wanted to. Okay, until the first of the draft, before draft, actually, after the draft. Okay, but it was, they came back with their heads up high, their chest out hard, because they did it with honor. They served our country with honor. It was an honorable thing to do. A lot of people, I think what Bob tested earlier, a few people mentioned, that, you know, when you do it, you don't do it because you want to be recognized. Okay, well, I'm going to go help that brother. Okay, I'll wait till a lot more people come so they can see me. Okay, here, now a whole bunch of people, now I help them. So that you can be seen. You should only care about what God sees. Amen. That's it. It's not what everybody else sees, what I did. Okay? Do it because we're Christians, because you're a man and a woman of God. And you're trying to show true love and your devotion and dedication to God and honoring God and His Word by going out there and helping a person, not because you're going to get recognized for it, but because that's what God wants you to do. I got one last scripture, and then I got something I just want to share with you real quick. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that your house and the house of your father should go in and out before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. See, if you go ahead and do it to honor God, He'll honor you. If you do it to honor yourself, it'll be for a short time. And you might not even get nothing for it. Thinking that you are, you might not even get anything. Half the times, people won't even notice. You know why? Because what you did it for yourself. The last part of that verse, Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says, honor one another above yourselves. Above yourselves. It's not about me. It's about honoring God and His love and His kindness that I will do that. To honor God. It's not so that Ray can get patted on the back. I'll finish with this. On 9/11, 343 firemen died. 37 policemen from the Port Authority died. Apart from New York and New Jersey. And 23 New York policemen died. A total that day without them was 2,996, over 6,000 injured. Those men and women, you're talking about honor, dedication, devotion, to honor somebody above yourself, they did that on that day. They ran up for somebody they didn't know. They didn't know who it was. But they were dedicated to one another. The firemen, they had that brotherly love. Those men sleep in the same rooms. They eat the same foods. Military men, military women. A lot of people that day gave their lives for people they didn't even know. Firemen held hands, running up there, trying to save lives. Policemen ran up there, trying to see what they can do to help. They didn't care about what was going on. What they wanted to make sure is to go out and help the people that needed it. Together they did this. They showed dedication. They were devoted to each other. To the firemen, to the policemen. There's a family there. Pastor Don knows about that. Pastor John knows about that. The dedication that they have for each other, they proved it. They ran up there to save lives. They honored what they stood for. How many of us can say that? That we honor our Father, the one who died on the cross for us. Can we truly say that we honor Him every single day? We gotta check our hearts. Those men and women did that. They showed their dedication, their devotion, their honor for their country, for the men and women next to them. That was the worst day in American history. But it showed us something that has to do with this verse. As Christians, that was a great example for us. As Christians, we should do that. Show our dedication, our devotion. Honor our pastors. Not just on Pastor Appreciation Day. I'm speaking the truth. But every day, when the pastors say they need something, they're having a guest speaker come in. And I threw that note away. My wife thought that I had four pieces of paper. I did. I had that on the back of my notes, and I wasn't going to talk about it, but here's three. When the pastors have a special guest coming by, we should all show up. That's how you honor your pastors, too. So when the pastor turns around, his pride in his soul to turn around and see that all his sheep are there, honoring him, showing respect for him. We should do that too, and not just a few people. So that today was a memorable day. For a lot of people, it's the saddest day of their life. We lost a lot of men and women that day. But it showed us how they were devoted, how they honored their stations, how they honored their captains, their lieutenants, when they ran out there to help other people other than themselves, and a lot of them lost their lives. So today in your prayer, pray for all those men and women, for all the people that they left behind, families that they left behind. And let's show our true devotion to God, how dedicated we are to Him, how we want to honor God, because He's the one that deserves all the honor and all the glory. Amen? Amen. Downstairs we have prayer. Please join us downstairs for prayer. Amen?